Well, good morning. It is so wonderful to see everybody who's here this morning to worship our God. Thank you for being here. And we appreciate especially the visitors who have an interest in spiritual things. We're talking this year at Eastside a lot about transformation. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12. And the lesson this morning has somewhat to do with that theme. A very well-known college football coach this last week was being interviewed, talking to several reporters, I think. And he talked about what he called the capability gap. That caught my interest. I hadn't heard of anything such as a capability gap before. And I think he may have invented or borrowed the term for his own uses. But the capability gap is the gap between what you do in a day and what you are capable of doing in a day. Now, for most of us, that gap is probably pretty significant. what we do in a day and what we're actually capable of doing in a day is probably miles apart for some folks. But there are those who are very high achievers, highly motivated people with a great drive to excel for one reason or another who have capability gaps that are probably quite small. They're just about doing everything they can possibly do. When it comes to our spiritual lives and this idea of transformation, being transformed into the image of Christ, becoming like Him in every way, inside and out, I think for many of us there's a pretty good gap between where we are and where we would be if we were transformed in the image of Christ. I think that there are some people who are very close to closing that gap, who are the image of Christ before us every day. But for many of us, that's not the case. This transformation gap, what we are and what we would be if we were transformed, that's what we want to talk about this morning, and that's what we want to think about when it comes to how can I close that? Maybe you're a Christian and you've been trying to be more like Christ all along, but you look at where you are and where Christ is, and still that gap just seems to be so wide and almost, in your mind, insurmountable. How can I close the distance here? How can I be really more like Him? If you're feeling that this morning, and maybe you've been feeling it this year as we've talked about transformation, and maybe you're somebody who's made improvements and changed some things in your life, but you still look at Jesus and you say, I've got a long way to go to be transformed into His image. And again, maybe that's a lot of us. Probably is. How can we possibly do that? I want you to know that you are not the only one who's ever experienced that or who is experiencing that. When Paul wrote to the Galatians, in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19, he realizes that they had taken a couple of steps back from what they should have been. They weren't relying on their faith, their trust in the Lord. Some of them gone back to the old law, and that was a problem. And so he says to them in Galatians 4 and verse 19, "My little children, for whom I labor in birth again, until Christ is formed in you." The Galatians didn't really have Christ in them as they needed to have. They were relying on their own works. They were thinking about going back to the works of the law, and they weren't trusting in Christ to be the guide and Savior of their lives. And Paul says, "I'm laboring until Christ is formed in you." This is how a lot of Christians live. Trying to be more like Christ by doing the rules, right? But not really trusting in Him. Not really having faith in Him to help them. Not really relying on His power and His strength. And, you know, spoiler alert, that's where we're going in this sermon. To learn to have faith in the Lord and rely on His power and His strength to change us into who He is. G.K. Chesterton said, whatever else is said of man, this much is clear. He is not what he is capable of being. That much is clear. But the good news is that the power to reach your full potential, to grow to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, is available to those who trust in Jesus. It's not an insurmountable task. It's not an impossible dream. Because God's power is in it. And with what is impossible with men is possible for God. He can change us. He can transform us. This much I know. And I want you to know it too. Paul, the apostle, was transformed by Christ's strength. Look at Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 27, if you're following in your Bibles. Paul worked, he will tell us in this text, to present every man perfect in Christ. I want you to look at this. There are two or three things in this text that are vital to our lesson this morning. Picking up in verse 27, he says, to them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. As I said, there are two or three things here we really need to hone in on. One of them is that Paul was preaching a gospel, the revelation of the mystery, which had brought Gentiles into a relationship with the God of heaven. He says it's the hope of glory. He says we preach Him, preach Christ, warning every man and teaching every man that we may present every man perfect in Christ. That word perfect is saying something. If you're perfect in Christ, you think there's a gap? Well, that guy's perfect in Christ, but there's a huge gap between who he is and who he ought to be. No, there's not a gap. Perfect actually means completed. The gap is filled in. Perfect man in Christ would have no gap between what he is and what he would be if Christ were in him, because Christ is in him. Christ is in the Gentile Christians who are being addressed. Paul preached Christ in order to present man, every man, not some, every man, perfect in Christ. Does that sound like an impossible dream to you? Was it impossible to Paul? In one way, it is. I'm sure Paul, from his own human standpoint, is saying, how in the world can we get everybody to be like Jesus? To be perfect in Christ. To be complete in Him. And that's the second point we need to see in this passage. You notice how he thought he would accomplish it? How he knew he would accomplish it? What does he say? He says, to this end I also labor. The end of making every man perfect in Christ. To this end I also labor. So it sounds like at first that he says, I can do this. But that's not what he's saying. He says, to this end I also labor, striving according to His working which works in me. How's he going to do it? God's going to help him. The word striving, interesting words in this text. The word striving comes from the Greek word agonizomai, agonize. He's given it as everything. He is striving with everything he has, but everything he has isn't going to do it. He is working, which comes from the Greek word energeia. We get our word energy from that. His energy is coming from God. The activity that works in him through Christ. That's how he's going to accomplish it. And so Paul is this wonderful example. When we look at Paul, do we see a big gap between who he was and who he should have been? We don't, do we? Why is that? Because the gap was closed by the grace of Jesus Christ, by the power of God in Paul's heart, in his life. By God's strength. And so Paul will tell the Galatians, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live. It's not even me. But Christ is living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith. The faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul was living the life that he was living by faith in Christ. By faith in God. And it was that trust that enabled him to be transformed. A measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He told the Corinthians that he labored even more than the other apostles because of God's grace that was in him. I love 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. He says, by the grace of God I am what I am. Whatever he'd accomplished spiritually in life, whoever he was at that time, and certainly somebody that we admire and who is held up to us as an example of what we ought to be. That's who Paul was. He says, by the grace of God I am what I am. His grace toward me was not in vain. God showed me grace, but it wasn't in vain because he let that grace in him. And so he says, I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet, not, but the grace of God which was in me. Who does Paul credit with his transformation? With being who he is? Credits God and His grace and His strength. He told the Philippians that he could do all things through Christ who strengthened him. Philippians 4 and verse 12. Familiar passage, and one that we cite a lot, although not always sure we use it in the context in which it was originally used. Paul is talking about, in the context, whether or not he had a lot of physical blessings and comforts in his life, or he didn't have any at all. And he said, basically, I've learned to live both ways. To, as a preacher, to have a lot of support and not to have any. He says, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through Christ who strengthens me. That's who he was relying on. That's who we need to rely on. If we want to be transformed, those who are transformed work with Christ's strength. That's what transforms them. Paul prayed that the Ephesians would be strengthened in the inner man through Christ who dwelt in their hearts by faith. Again, you have this idea of faith or trust. Ephesians 3 and verse 16. That He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. And He goes on and talks about maybe you'll be able to understand the love of God. But focus on those words. Strengthened with might. Somebody says, well, I can't do this. I don't have the strength to be any more Christ-like than I'm being. This is as far as I can go, and I can't go any further. I've tried and tried and tried. Christ can take you the rest of the way. Christ can fill in the gap. Christ can dwell in your hearts, but you have to believe in Him. You have to trust Him with it. When you think you can't do it, that's fine. Because Christ can. Trust that. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Paul doesn't appeal to Timothy in that passage to have strength on his own. He appeals to Timothy to be strong in and through the grace, what God would give him, the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And that brings us to sort of the key passage of the lesson. And please turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. We'll spend some time here. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Again, some things we need to notice in this passage. Look at it again. Look carefully with me. Notice the power of God that's being talked about in Hebrews 13 and verse 20. The God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. There are many references to that in the New Testament. And most of the time, one of the fundamental concepts that's being conveyed is the power of God. If God can bring up Jesus from the dead, if He can conquer death, and there's no if about it, He did, He can do anything. And so often these kinds of statements, references to God bringing Jesus from the dead, will be followed with or preceded by some reference to something that human beings just have so much trouble thinking that this can actually happen, like actually being Christ-like. One of those things. And what the Bible tells us over and over again is that if God brought up Jesus from the dead, He can do anything. And I mean anything that He wants to do. Including transform you into the image of Jesus Christ. That's the very point here. He brought up Jesus from the dead. Oh, well, He can't change me. You've got to be kidding. He can change you too. He can change me. There's a novel entitled The Edge of Eternity. And there's a character in the novel. His name happens to be Nick, and he has a lot of spiritual struggles. But he comes to an understanding of who Jesus is, and as the novel goes, allows Jesus to change his life. toward the end of the novel, he reflects back on his experience, which is a lot like a lot of human experiences, which is why I'm sharing this with you. He says, I remember now that I'd stopped looking at the stars. They made me feel so lonely and small and disconnected. You ever looked at the stars and maybe felt that way? Lonely and small and disconnected. But he says, not anymore. Seeing the stars now, now that I believe in God, now that I believe in the power of God and the power of Jesus Christ, seeing the stars now is like rereading a book after meeting the author. This God who raised Jesus from the dead, this God who last night put that half moon in the sky that I saw so clearly, and planets nearby that scientists tell me are Venus and Saturn and Jupiter this week, that God that did that can change me. And when we look at the stars now and we perceive the power of God that's evident in the stars, that's the same power that can work in you. When we think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and perceive the power that it took to raise Him from the dead, that power can work in you. Notice again in Hebrews 13, verse 21 says, that power, that God, can make you complete in every good work. No gaps. No gaps. Can make you complete in every good work to do His will. What He wants you to do and be, God can do that. The word translated again, complete there, or the English Standard Version, I think, says equip, is a word that's used in Koine Greek to refer to the setting of a broken bone. It makes something that wasn't connected, connected. It closes the gap and solidifies it and heals it. It can make you complete. It bridges the gap. It strengthens. It perfects. It completes. Those are definitions of that word from Thayer's Greek lexicon. Strengthens. Perfects. Completes. So here's what we're learning. We must let God provide the power and the equipment, the enablement that we need to reach our full potential in Christ. Otherwise, we will not reach our full potential in Christ. It is His power and grace and our trust in that, our faith in that, that enables us. So, you ever had the experience your old refrigerator dies? You know, it's been a good refrigerator for years and years, but finally it kicks the can and you're pressed into buying a new refrigerator. Maybe you've literally had this experience. You think, well, this time I'm going to get a good refrigerator. It's going to last a long time. I'm going to get one with all the bells and whistles. It's going to, you know, give me ice and water at the door. It's going to be one of these. I can even order my groceries through my refrigerator. You seen those? Just every bell and whistle, every last thing, and you order that thing, and it's finally delivered, and oh, you know, you just pet it, and you shine it up, and get all the fingerprints off of it, and all that sort of thing, and then you can't wait to, you put all your food in there, and you wake up the next morning, and all your food is spoiled. And you start looking around, and what in the world is going on? You contact customer service. I bought this $1 billion refrigerator and my food's all ruined. And, you know, they start going through things with you. Well, did you do this? Did you do that? And finally, not being able to figure anything out, well, open the door and see if the light comes on. Well, you open the door and the light doesn't come on. And you know the next question, right? Did you plug it in? And your answer is, well, no, I forgot to plug it in. But with all the money I spent on it, it should work anyway. With everything I put into being Christ-like, with everything I've sacrificed and put into being Christ-like, I should be Christ-like. I forgot to plug it in. Because the power to transform me is God, not me. I have to trust Him in my life at every step. Do it His way. Give it to Him. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verses 3 and 4. It's one of my favorite passages in Scripture. Listen to the words of the prophet. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. Because he trusts you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah the Lord is, look at it, everlasting strength. How do you get it? You trust in it. That's how. The strength, the power, whatever it is that you need to accomplish, whatever it is He wants you to do, will be yours if you trust in Him. If you try to do it your way, it won't work. If you do it His way, it'll work. Trust in Him. I found, and I've shared this before, when I was going through my cancer treatments a number of years ago, you know what's going to happen. You're going to live, you're going to die. You're going to suffer a long time and then die. Here's what you've got to say. God, I trust in You. My life is Yours to do with whatever You want. If You want me to die now, that's fine, I'm Yours. If You want me to live for another 50 years, that's fine, I'm Yours. I'm Yours no matter what. I trust in You. Let's not just do that when it comes to living and dying. Let's do it when it comes to living. God, I'm Yours. And whatever Your will is for my life, as is revealed in Your Word, that I will do. That I will be. And You will help me be it, because I trust in You. Whatever it is. Paul's description of those who work out their own salvation in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, concludes with this statement: For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do, for His good pleasure. When your life is just God's, and His will is in you, and the doing that you're doing is what He wants you to do, you'll be transformed. We all will be. That's what we're aiming at this year at Eastside, and hopefully for all the years to come, if there are any. This morning I'm inviting you, God is inviting you, to trust Him, to give your life wholly and completely to Him. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you're ready to do that right now, to give up your own control, to give up trying to do it your way, we'd ask you now to come while we stand and while we sing.